Welcome to Maximum Geek. I'm Jeff Kirvin.
And I'm Josh Curry, and this is Max Geek 44. Yeah, the numbers just keep going up. I don't know what's up with that.
Actually, we tried making them go sideways, but that didn't work as well.
Yeah, okay, anyway, my joke was lame and you built on it. What's that say about you?
I'm a builder. All right. I'm Bob the Builder.
Oh, I thought you were like the little builders in Fraggle Rock. Gonna eat one of your buildings.
I always wanted to be a builder lemming, you know, with the little, you know, making the little stairs, you know.
The one that always got sacrificed.
I almost always
sacrificed my builder lemmings. Anyway,
what were we? Did we have an actual topic in mind? Or?
We have a lot of topics in mind tonight, actually. All right. First topic.
I love unscripted. Okay.
It's official. There will be no Q or R in the next Bond film. Now, what that means is no gadget. They're completely reinventing the next Bond film. Okay, it's going to be a 28-year-old Bond, no Q, and they're doing Casino Royale, the original book. Now, here's why that may not be a bad thing. For those of you who have read the book, you already know the answer to this. There was no Q in Casino Royale. And Bond was about 28. So there was a much younger Bond and no Q. They're sticking closer to the book.
So no David Niven in this one?
No David Niven. I'm going to kill you. No David Niven. Thanks for the obscure Bond reference. I guess it's not that obscure. Not quite as obscure as which Bond film isn't officially a Bond film.
Ooh, I know that.
The answer.
I'm not going to say because I want to see if our listeners know that.
Okay, yeah, that's it.
So the first one to respond to this, you know, on the forums with the Bond film that's not really a Bond film gets a much sought after no prize.
Heck, we could even do a prize if we wanted.
Yeah, but I like the old Marvel reference better.
Okay. Well, all right. Anyway, so I'm a little worried, and it really bugged me at first because I really like John Cleese as R, and I really like, you know, Q was one of the best characters from the Bond films, and he was a mainstay for the movies, but I can see why if they're trying to reinvent it, and there have been, as much as I liked a couple of the Brosnan Bond films, in general, not digging, you know, the last decade of Bond films hasn't been that great. They've definitely kind of lost their way. I mean, so maybe this is a good thing. The guy writing the script is the guy who wrote Crash, which is a very well-reviewed movie, which I haven't seen, and I really should, I think. So I'm kind of interested to see it. At first, I was like, what the hell are they doing? And I was like, no, wait. If I remember my Bond correctly, there was no Q. So this could be a good thing. Now, let's talk about TV for a minute. Sci-fi on television. All the sci-fi. All the new sci-fi shows this season. I've seen three of them. Just last night, I watched the first episode of Surface. And last Friday, I saw Threshold. Now, those are the first two invasion flicks. Alien invasions, alien something, I don't know. There's aliens. At least we assume there's aliens in Surface. What I like so far is they are very different approaches to this type of film. It's interesting, but I'm still... still a little, I don't know. I know they can't all survive. So far, I'm leaning towards Threshold over Surface, but it's a real minor thing. I mean, I've also seen twice as much Threshold because it was a two-hour premiere, whereas Surface was a one-hour premiere. So, you know, there's definitely some you know, some room for me to change my mind there. So for now, I'm going to kind of reserve judgment in general, but I don't see how, with those two and Invasion, which premieres tomorrow, I don't see how all three of those shows can survive, even though they are on different nights. Luckily, they're not putting them head-to-head-to-head. Hate it when they do that.
Three-headed sci-fi.
And then there's also Supernatural, which is a little different science fiction flick. It's on tonight in about 20 minutes, 8 o'clock on Tuesday here for us in the Central Time Zone. And I watched the first episode. I worry a little bit about it sticking around. It was fun, and I'll definitely be watching. I'm recording tonight's episode because I'll be talking when it's on. But those are the three. I think it's off to a good start. They're better than a lot of sci-fi shows, Space Rangers, in the past that just fell flat right away. I just hope that there's the audience there.
I can't imagine how something called Space Rangers couldn't have been beautiful.
Dude, did you ever watch Space Rangers? It was fun to mock.
I was being ironic. But see, we're North American, so we have no native sense of irony. So I'll ask Morris.
No native state of irony? Because they were petitioning to change Washington's name. What? Come on. Was as funny as your joke? So, sci-fi television, hopefully a good resurgence.
Please let me differ.
I'm not begging.
Please. I want to differ.
You can't differ. You have to agree.
Damn it.
Okay. Better. So sci-fi television could be good this time around. I don't know. I'm going to have to cut down on the number of shows I'm watching after the first couple weeks here, so they've got a couple weeks to really grab me, because I can really only add maybe two shows to my repertoire. Although I'll be a little better
rotation.
Off the sci-fi channel,
but, dude,
shows are
is,
hitting their season finale.
This is the age of TiVo. We can watch infinite TV now.
But, dude, I only have so much time, and if I don't eventually catch up, it's a problem. Like last season, I had 10 episodes of Smallville to watch at the end of the season. I got them watched, but, you know, it's like if you get one behind, it just piles up, and, oh, that's a whole article for me for TiVo. Anyway. Okay, and now there's a commercial for a new CSI, which, why is there another CSI? I don't know.
What? Another one? Wait, we've got...
I hope
we got,
not.
We got Vegas... We got Vegas, we got Miami, we got New York. What's next? CSI Boise? What?
Well, I don't know what this is. Okay, no. They said CSI something, and then they didn't. They, like, backed off. I don't know. I thought there was another CSI, and I was going to scream. Okay. I only saw part of the commercial, so apparently it's not, but...
Not really sure we could
show,
do another one.
Another crime show like CSI. At least the...
Oh,
well,
that's,
you know,
completely different. There's like 80 of those.
Yeah, the newest one being Bones, and then Criminal
I
Minds later this week.
Well, there's actually a new one with Don Knotts as the lead, but I don't think that one's completely serious.
Isn't that a Scooby-Doo spinoff?
Those damn kids!
Oh, come on! All right. That was a good reference. Anyway, we are
okay, come on.
So off target. Stay on target.
Or topic.
Stay on target.
from behind.
But I don't get to do a Star Wars reference with the word topic. See? You are confused. Which brings us to a new telecom bill that is maybe going to see the light of day, maybe. I haven't read the whole thing because it's 77 pages of legalese.
See, here's why I think this will forever remain a bill and never get promoted
to
a
can
law.
Can we tell him what we're excited
about? He'll be out on the front of the on the Capitol steps, like crying, and the kids will have to come and cheer him up.
Jeff, can we tell him what it's about before we tell him why it won't work?
Well,
I'm
suppose
happy about
that
the
would
idea
be
of
the
this
conventional
bill.
Way to do it.
Okay, shut up. Anyway. I'm kind of excited about it.
Be
I
like
think
everybody
it's a good
else.
Thing. It shows some intelligence. The bottom
line is... Okay,
what
does it do, Josh?
I'm trying to get there. Shut the fuck up. One of the big things about this bill is...
There went our iTunes rating.
Shut up.
See, now we've got explicit content.
So I can say fuck all I want now. The big thing about this bill
Cartman,
is part of the bill... Shut up, Jeff. Part of the bill is, is going to say that you have to allow any traffic on your network, even from other networks, that is legal. As long as it's not an illegal traffic, and you have to allow it. So that means Verizon can't block Vonage. And SBC can't be bastards. Verizon and SBC are going to kind of be pissy because they're all, hey, it's our network, we'll let what we want. But a big part of this bill says, screw you guys, you're doing what we tell you to do.
Their spokespeople actually sound like that. It's crazy.
Get him, get him.
But here's why this little bill is never going to get past Capitol Hill and Hill. Well, actually, he's gonna end up wrapping fish. That's what happens to bills that don't become law. That's part of the cartoon you never saw. And I'm still rhyming, and I don't know why. Okay, here's why.
You're a rhyming kind of guy.
Here's why this bill is not going to pass, because it benefits consumers and sticks it to large money bag corporations. Verizon will pay whatever they have to kill this.
Yeah. It's entirely possible,
so,
but...
And given
dead,
that we have the best
be
government money
it.
Can buy...
We can be happy about it until it dies.
I'm not going to get my hopes up.
I didn't see
I'll believe it when
up,
I see it signed.
But can you be happy that at least it got proposed? That at least it's out there and... Come on.
Oh,
you know
it's
what?
Out there, all right.
You don't have to be negative, Mr. Negativity. Okay? Whether it'll pass or not is not the issue.
This has no chance in hell of passing.
Okay, so if it does pass, what are you going to do?
This is like passing a resolution saying that Barbara Bush is going to spend a year working in a soup kitchen. It's just not going to happen.
If it does pass, what are you going to do?
The Watusi.
Dude, you're not... anyway. Thanks for all your helpful commentary, Jeff. I don't think we need to be negative. I'm just pointing out that there is a bill, and if it passes, I'd be very happy. And it could pass.
It's a great idea, so it's a great idea, so it'll die horribly.
Jaded much?
Read the news much?
Yes, I do read the news much. But you know what? Oh, forget it. I'm sorry you have not a positive bone in your body, Jeff. Anyway.
I did, but then I got ionized.
Next topic. I don't need to deal with you. Shut up. Anyway, no, shut up. Evdo laptops. Something Verizon is doing right. They've gone out to HP, Dell, and Lenovo and said, hey.
Lenovo.
Make some laptops with Evdo built in. So we will be seeing new laptops from those three companies with Evdo built in, and then, you can go out and be all Evdoized. Which is cool.
Okay. Now, what I really like about this is it takes that broadband speed and you go everywhere with it. I mean, this is assuming that Verizon does their part and gets the coverage where it needs to be. But, the one thing I really like about cellular technology, which admittedly still has some, still has some room to grow in terms of the speed, but the reason I like that over Wi-Fi is that I don't want to go where the network is. I want the network to come to me. Yeah, if I have to work in a Starbucks, that's not acceptable. I want to be able to, to access the internet at broadband speed wherever I happen to be, wherever I'm most comfortable.
Well,
and that's why I think these laptops are an awesome, awesome start.
Okay.
On that.
First of all, I mean,
which segues into our next topic.
I don't want to get into the Wi-Fi versus cellular
yes,
argument.
But you see that segues so nicely into the Google thing.
I know, but I do want to say something. And if you'd shut up, I would have segued already. Be rolling around all balanced.
You don't even have... You don't even have...
You're rolling around all balanced. I want the Centaur. The four-wheel one. Anyway,
yeah,
shut the fuck up.
What's the point of that? How do you tip over a four-wheeler? Actually, you've managed to do it.
Dude, okay. I've been on an ATV, and let me tell you, I've been known to roll out of the way of ATVs. I've never had a broken bone, but it wasn't for lack of the ATV trying to kill me. The ATV has tried to kill me. I'll miss that ATV. Anyway, it didn't get put out of its misery. Anyway, with Google Wi-Fi...
Reminds me of Calvin and his bicycle.
If Google starts putting in major cities, if Google really starts putting in free Wi-Fi... And
you realize,
really,
of course, that Google created Skynet. Google's going to create Skynet. You know that,
I agree.
Right?
And if they do, we'll have internet access for a majority of people. Now, it's not an answer for everyone.
And then we'll have horrible killing machines.
Yeah, well, that's going to happen anyway. You know, we can't avoid that, so we might as well be happy until the machines take
over. It's a new Google cyborg. It's got a smile on its face while it kills you. Okay.
The Google T-1000. What? Anyway, Google-fi. Anyway, Google Wi-Fi. So, Google is apparently working on Google Wi-Fi, which is very cool, from what I can tell. They're looking at building up...
This is one of the worst-kept secrets in Silicon Valley. Gee, why is Google buying up all that fiber?
They're buying up fiber, and they're looking at putting in Wi-Fi hotspots all over the place. And if there really are...
They're not building one in my apartment.
No, but for most business people... The point is, for most business people, if they get major downtown areas to have it, then...
What about uptown?
Oh, shut up. If we get major downtown areas
all the
to
rich
have
people
Wi-Fi,
are uptown.
Then it'll be a happy thing. This is a good thing for everyone. And for a lot of people, they won't have to deal with spotty service and questionable speeds and all that of EVDO. Now, eventually, EVDO will be very, very nice, and eventually, wireless of some sort will be everywhere. But at this point, who knows? So the bottom line is, you know, we can argue Wi-Fi versus EVDO all we want, but Google Wi-Fi is going to be a reality. It'll be free Wi-Fi service. It'll be ad-supported. But in typical Google fashion, I completely expect it to be unobtrusive ads. Google's ads are the least obtrusive, and that's why they're so popular. People are actually likely to click on them because they're not garish. They're not, you know, hey, buy me! They're not those stupid pop-up X10 ads that I haven't seen in forever, but, you know, you see all the time. They're not, you know, annoying flash ads. Shoot the PSP! You know, no win an Xbox Now. Although, actually, I have seen a win an Xbox 360 Now ad in Google AdSense, but it wasn't a big shoot me now thing. It was just a click here. So, Google Wi-Fi, I think that could be very cool, especially for a guy like me, although we'll never see it in Wichita, you know, so. And we'll never see EVDO here either, because they, like, already have it in Kansas City, but it'll be forever before it creeps here, and that's sad. Just sad.
That doesn't make any sense. I mean, because, you know, like, Wichita is, like, the largest city in the world, right? I mean, it's bigger than Chicago.
It's the largest city in Kansas. Because most of Kansas City isn't here.
I'd just like to point out that this winter there's a movie starring John Cusack and Billy Bob Thornton about trying to escape from Wichita.
There is, and I might just have to see it. Oh, look. Munster just gave birth to an H3. See, I think... Okay, has anyone else seen this commercial?
Yes, I've seen the commercial.
Okay,
it's
but
horribly
have you
disturbing.
Noticed, have you noticed how it's like some ad exec or some advertising genius, like, got Hummer to advertise, and it's like tongue-in-cheek, because clearly the predecessors to the H3 have destroyed the environment. I mean, does anybody else notice that? The horrible destruction that the parents of the H3 have caused? And
see, the kind of people that buy Hummers, not real big on nuance.
I know, but it's cool
just
for the
saying.
Rest of us. And I think it's funny. That's why I love that commercial. It's like the ad execs, like, I don't know. They, like, snuck it
We're
by
going
the
to make fun
Hummer.
Of you, and you're going to give us money for it.
I love it. It's priceless. So, that's completely off topic. That's not anywhere, clearly nowhere anywhere near the topic. Yeah. But anyway, Google Wi-Fi should be cool. There's an app you can download now, but it doesn't work anywhere unless you're in, Los Angeles? Is that where it is?
No, Frisco. San Francisco. Some places in the greater San Francisco Bay Area, you can already get this, like, secure Wi-Fi application that they're working on.
Yes. But
I mean, anybody can download it, but unless you're in the San Francisco Bay Area, it doesn't work.
Yeah, hippie.
I saw a picture of the Screw You Hippie thing on one of the sites earlier today, because someone tried it. All right. Now, for more news, the Nintendo Revolution controller. Now, Jeff is a horrible, horrible person because he hasn't read my article over on
CivRiru.com. I have seen this controller, and it looks like a brain dead remote, like TV remote control. It's weird.
Okay, but did you read my article? Do you know what I think about it? Do you know why I think this could be a truly revolutionary controller? And why I think it's a good thing.
I'm going to have to go with because of its zesty smell.
Okay, first of all, I'm going to start out by saying that Nintendo is one of the smarter companies around. They've always understood what they do best. In the beginning, it was just make the consoles, and they made the best consoles, and you know there wasn't a whole lot of innovation really. It was just the marketing and the deals with other companies, and it was they did really well. But with the GameCube, they started understanding that they don't have the best technology necessarily, but the games were really targeted at kids and a little better. A little better targeted gaming. Now, they realize with this next generation that they are already starting out later than everyone else and with lower-end technology. And it's like they planned it that way. They know what's going to be in the other consoles. If they wanted to up the ante, they could. They chose not to for a couple of reasons. They have the entire back catalog of Nintendo games available for this thing. I don't know whether it's going to be by download or what. It's nothing official yet. They've made this thing very sleek and very slim and fit very nicely into your entertainment center, far nicer than anything out there right now. And the big thing here is this controller is as easy to use as the most simple remote control. The most simple remote controls anybody can use. Now, you get a 40-button remote, and, you hand it to my mom, and she goes, what the fuck? You give her a 10-button remote that's got big channel up-down buttons and big volume up-down buttons and a power button, some number buttons, she can use it. Simplicity is the real key here. Not only that, they're looking at different types of games. It's motion-sensitive. Forward, back, up, down, left, right, and tilt-sensitive. So you've got a lot of options with one hand. Yeah.
Holy crap.
And that's with one hand. And there's two buttons. There's a trigger button, and then there's an A button on the front, and then there's the directional pad. Okay, so all that in a controller-like remote that's one-handed. So just by holding it and casting, I mean, just imagine, sword fighting. It can tell. I mean, there's a lot of stuff you can do. It's very interesting. It's very different kinds of gaming. Now, admittedly, even with it's got a little plug-in with a left-handed analog controller with two more buttons, Okay, it's got. Mm-hmm. So it can appeal to people who want to play FPSs and stuff. Okay, so there is that possibility. It's not really targeted at it, but it's conceivable.
Inconceivable.
But it's very different from anything else out there right now. It's very, very different from anything else out there right now. So what's really great about it, though, is the number of people it can appeal to and the kind of games you can get. I'm really impressed with the type of gameplay that they're making possible with this thing. The immersive quality, but with very simple play. Also, if you take a look at that remote, and if you turn it to the left on its side, it's laid out very similar to an old-style Nintendo. A, B on the right, directional pad on the left. So it's very well suited for the back catalog as well. It's very simple.
Oh, hadn't really looked at it that way.
It's very simple. It's very user-friendly, and I think it'll appeal to a lot more people than the Xbox 360 or the PS3, because they've got the same remotes again, the same controllers, the same. They're not doing anything different there. They're pushing other boundaries, but Nintendo's really pushing the design boundaries. If they do this right, it's a genius move. If they do it wrong, it's the stupidest thing they've ever done. I mean, you can say that about any move, pretty much. But I predict that with what Nintendo does well, the marketing, the deals with game designers, working with game designers, I predict that this could be huge for the Nintendo Revolution.
Now let's hope they actually call it the Nintendo Revolution, because there are rumors that that's just like a temporary name and they'll come out with something much lamer down the road.
They called it a code name.
Yeah.
So we'll see whether it's the Revolution or not. And there was a comment made in response to my article on tibariu.com about that, and I said, well, you know what? It's way too early to know. It'll be forever before they tell us what the real name is. But I'm really kind of excited. The controller has got me kind of excited to see what they do with this, because I can see different kinds of games. I can see a golf game where you actually swing. I can see a tennis game where you actually, that's a neat idea.
Can you imagine us playing Top Spin with that kind of a controller? You and I would wreck the house.
Yeah, but it'd be fun. I'm telling you, it'd be awesome.
It would be fun. It would be fun.
I mean, I think they really found an area where it doesn't matter that they're not quite as powerful as the other guys. It fits much nicer into an entertainment center. The controller looks natural on a coffee table. This thing will be virtually, invisible in a house. And for those who want the old controllers, they'll be out there. They will be released by third parties.
There's a 3-page thread on this over at OneSource about the Revolution controller.
Yeah, I haven't read it. I didn't know there was one. I didn't...
It's like, what are they talking about this over there for? Apparently, this controller idea, the way Nintendo is doing it, this is going to be one of the big selling points of the Revolution. And, a lot of these, one of the reasons why I don't get into the whole game console craze is because, to me, it all looks like the same thing. PS2, Xbox, whatever. Other than which games are available for which, there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of difference between them to me. They're basically just all shinier versions of the original Atari 2600, as far as I'm concerned. But something like this would really make home gaming much more interactive and a lot more fun than just sitting there growing like incredibly powerful thumbs.
Well, here's the deal. I mean, if you look back at Nintendo, their entire history has been spent with building devices like this. They started with the trackpads, the pads that you run on. The congas for the Game Boy, the GameCube, the Game Boy DS, Nintendo DS, not the Game Boy DS. Nintendo DS. Touchscreen as a way to play games. I mean, they are about expanding those boundaries. One of the points I made in the article was, with games like Nintendogs and the interfaces and the way you interact with the game, they've gotten a lot of people playing with Nintendo DSs that normally wouldn't buy one.
So Foxtrot has actually had a running gag about that.
Yeah, it's true that Nintendo seems to be the only one that's really innovating. Microsoft and Sony are all about, you know, they're Tim Allen, more power. They're not, and Microsoft really focusing on the Xbox Live and on the media center aspects, and so there are some differences there, but no one is looking at the gaming side of this and going, well, we're doing something they're not. Let's do something different. That's what I really am kind of excited about the Revolution controller, and it's got a lot of possibilities. So.
Yeah, I actually did read your original article. It just took me a while to remember that I'd read it. But actually, yeah, and I didn't get this from your article. But now that you've kind of explained it in a little more depth, I'm kind of excited about this myself, and I'm not a gamer. Regular listeners know that I am not a gamer. But this sounds fun.
Yeah, I expect you to sit there and say nothing. This has turned out to be a far longer segment than I thought it would be. So I'll keep you guys informed. I'm really kind of excited about the Nintendo Revolution now. It's amazing. Kind of overshadowing the impending release of the Xbox 360 in my eyes. Okay, next, Jobs has confirmed that the first Intel Max will be out June of next year. No beats on what it is, just that it will be out. Commodore has released a GPS media player. Yes, that Commodore. It looks like a neat little device. It's got a 30 gigabyte drive. It does WMA, MP.
This is just so sad and wrong.
It's a neat little device.
I felt
it's got
dirty.
GPS built in.
I felt dirty after reading about this.
Why?
Because it runs Windows. It's a Commodore device running Windows. It's just
I'll give you that. That's a little disturbing, but it's kind of a neat little device. And I don't own one, and if I'm gonna buy one, the Commodore name is probably enough to get me to buy it.
This is a combo. In fact, it's called the combo. This is a combo GS or GPS and PVP, right?
Yeah, it'll do all kinds of media. And it'll also do
GPS. The whole routing thing.
Yeah, built-in GPS. Neat device.
Well, those are two classes of devices that both require a fairly large, bright color screen, so I suppose it was only a matter of time before somebody combined them into one thing.
And a lot of data. There's a lot of data involved
with GPS. And massive data storage, yeah.
It's got SD, so you can get stuff on there with an SD card. It's also got a USB, obviously. No, but it's kind of a neat little device, so I just wanted to talk about that. Just want to talk a little bit about that. Now, it is confirmed there will be a Palm Windows Mobile OS 5 Trio. I'm excited about it. I'll own one. Jeff is...
It's not what you think. It's not why you think I'm hissing.
Okay, why are you hissing?
The reason I'm hissing isn't that it's Windows Mobile, is that it's Windows Mobile done very poorly, from what I understand.
Really?
Yes. See, didn't see that coming, did ya?
No.
Word on the street, and by street I mean the little alleys in the back of my house, is that the Windows Mobile Trio, here's what we know about it, or here's what we think we know. And when I say we, I do, in fact, have a mouse in my pocket. We think we know that it is coming out from Verizon. It is definitely coming out this year. None of this next spring talk. This will be on sale and available at your local retailer before Christmas. It will be exclusive to Verizon until next year. You won't see the Sprint or Singular versions until next spring. And here's we know that it's going to have... this is why I'm upset about it. It's the same Trio form factor we know and love from the 650. It's made by HTC, the same company that makes the Trio 650, and the same company that makes a lot of other Windows Mobile PDA phones. But this is why I don't understand this, because HTC should know better than to put out something like this. It's going to have a 240 by 240 square screen. Okay? Now, we expect a Trio to have a square screen, and we've kind of understood that, you know, looking at the HP 6500 and 6700, that Windows Mobile can only easily do 240 by 240 or 480 by 480, not in the middle. But that resolution just looks awful on a real device. I would almost rather they didn't do it until they could afford to make a price-competitive 480 by 480 screen. But that's not the bad part. That's not good, but it's not the bad part. The bad part is I'm hearing from several sources that it's going to be 64-64. Yeah, is going to be a Windows Mobile 5 device that uses persistent memory, and I'm hearing from several sources that it's going to be 64 meg of RAM, which is non-user accessible. It's just like on your computer, the computer itself decides how to use the RAM. And six. What was that? Josh? Okay, Josh.
Just a second, dude.
Died.
Keep going. Don't worry about it. Keep going.
Josh has apparently been killed by Mario. Okay. Or Pac-Man or something. I don't remember my 80s game sounds. But it's going to have 64 meg of RAM and 64 meg of flash for storing your programs. Now, the 64 meg of RAM, we kind of knew that was going to happen. 64 is the only number that makes sense, considering that you have to pretty much do this in multiples of 32, because of the way the chips are physically made. 32 meg is not enough, because the operating system itself takes up just over 19. So that's not going to leave you enough memory to really run anything substantial, especially on a Windows Mobile device where it just assumes that you want to multitask and leaves everything running in the background.
Woot!
But...
That's not woot.
And 128 meg of actual volatile RAM is too much. That's too much of a power drain. So 64 is the only number that really makes sense. But... 64 mega flash for storing your programs and stuff, that's for Windows Mobile, that's just sad and ridiculous.
I'm a little worried about that.
Just about every other device that's coming out now that's running Windows Mobile 5 comes with at least 128 mega flash. Some of them have 256. Because flash is non-volatile, it doesn't take any power to keep it refreshed, so put in all you want. It doesn't matter. So I'm really wondering why Palm/HTC would skimp and go with a 64 meg device when, even before Verizon gets this to market, Sprint has already, their United States CDMA rival, Sprint, has already released their version of the HTC Magician. Now, if you haven't seen the Magician, this is a QVGA device. It's 240 by 320. It's a PDA phone. It's a slider phone, but the keyboard, it's a full QWERTY keypad. Instead of sliding down, it slides out to the side. So it's a full-size keyboard. It's about the same size as you'd get on a Klee UX series or on a Sidekick.
It's a very cool-looking phone.
Yeah, because this is Windows Mobile 5, yeah, it'll you know, the display will slide into landscape, you know, as soon as you pull out the keyboard. Yeah, honestly, if I were going to go with a CDMA Windows Mobile PDA phone, as much as I love my Trio 650, if I'm going to go Windows Mobile, I would much rather go with the 128 meg flash Magician than the 64 meg flash Trio.
Well,
so
that's a good point. I hadn't thought of that. I was just excited to see a Windows Mobile Trio, but that is a very good point. So I don't know. I'll have to see. I'll have to wait and see what really happens and what we find out about it. And I don't know.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure my next device is going to be Windows Mobile, though.
Honestly, I'm given what I'm seeing out of Palm and the news that broke today in Business Week that Palm actually did try to buy Palm Source and got outbid by Access. I'm starting to think that as much as I love Palm OS and as much as I love my Trio 650, my next device might also be Windows Mobile.
Well, depending on when we get it, there may not be that much of a choice. I mean, if you're looking at a Palm One device, this is either them broadening their market or it could be signs
the beginning
of
a switch.
Since they didn't get Palm Source, they got Palm Source. I'm sure they would have stuck with the Palm OS, but now that they didn't, it brings into question whether or not they'll stick with that. I'm sure it's not going away right away.
Actually not the question. That's related to the question, but it's not the actual question. That's like the question's cousin.
Okay.
Here's the question. Will Palm OS still be an option? No, he's a Charleston hero.
Well, DC bought all the Charleston characters, therefore.
I was just seeing if we could make that reference even more obscure.
Wow. Okay, one person in the audience got it. Oh, wait, I'm not in the audience. Okay.
For those of you who to take this little tangent into complete irrelevancy, many people don't realize that the characters in Alan Moore's The Watchmen were originally supposed to be those Charleston characters that DC bought. But then at the last minute, they decided they would rather use the Charleston characters as they were, and Moore had to change the characters he had in mind slightly to the characters we're now familiar with in The Watchmen. The Question became Rorschach. Blue Beetle became Night Owl, etc.
Etc. Etc.
Anyway.
Way tangent.
Okay.
Anyway.
Here's the question.
Will
Palm OS, not Palm. Yeah. Palm is a hardware company. Palm OS still be an option outside of Asia in another year or two? See, Access is going to do some fantastic, amazing things with Palm OS, but most of those are focused on the Japanese and Chinese markets. They're focused on cell phones. Will they even bother to keep licensing it to American PDA companies? I know that Palm has an option to continue using Palm OS through 2009, but that's assuming that both companies still want to keep doing that.
Wow.
In another year or two, it may be that Palm OS, as we knew it, is now an Asian smartphone operating system, and all of the smartphones in the U.S. run either Symbian or Windows Mobile.
Well, I think a lot of that will have to do with how well the Windows Mobile Trio does. I think that'll be them testing the waters. I think it was always them testing the waters, but I think it has a far bigger price tag on it now. You know what I mean?
How so?
Well, I mean, I think now that...
You say there's more riding on it because didn't get the operating system?
Yeah, I think there's more of a likelihood that they'll go to Windows Mobile. Before, it was a possibility, but, kind of a slim one,
Yeah.
But now,
yeah, Access outbidding them for Palm Source really does kind of push them more into the Windows Mobile camp. Now, that brings up another question. Can Palm thrive as a handset maker of Windows Mobile smartphones? Does Palm have the means to actually produce a better product at a lower price than HP and Dell?
Well, it all depends on what we really see from the Windows Mobile Trio and whether they learn from whatever mistakes they're going to make. If not,
now I'll tell you one often cited reason why Palm is going to inevitably fail, or at least this is, you know, the people that are making that argument, this is one of the things they say. And actually, I've said this in the past before I realized how stupid I was. And that's that Dell, because of their economies of scale and because of their purchasing power, can always manufacture the exact same handheld cheaper than Palm. That would be true if Palms were desktops, but they're not desktops. What's actually happening is that HTC is making all of these, and Dell and Palm are buying them.
Yeah.
That levels the playing field quite a bit.
Oh, agreed. Agreed. I don't know. It's a very interesting question, and I think it's a good lead-in for a possible OneSource topic. I'm just throwing that out for you.
Yeah, I'll be talking more about this on the OneSource podcast tomorrow.
I definitely see that as a possible future, and it's a good thing I had already kind of resigned myself to a Windows Mobile next-generation device. So,
yeah,
all right.
I may end up returning to Windows Mobile myself. I may not have a choice.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. This all has plenty of time to play out, though. So it won't be happening tomorrow, but interesting thought.
Yeah. Friday, on the other hand. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, you never know.
Yeah.
Solo Media will soon have its own store. I am Woo-hoo! About ready to start testing it. I've done many, many modifications, and I've got it working. I got some color scheme.
And some rather large modifications. Not all of them were mini modifications.
I've done the ha 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 ha. I've got a working cart that works for buying current issues and buying single issues. I'm working on subscription solutions. There's one that I haven't been able to make work like I want it to. In the cart software I'm using, there's a gift certificate system which can actually work much like a micropay system. You see what your balance is.
Yes, but does it speak bocce?
No. Shut up. Anyway, there's a gift certificate system that works much like a micropay system. I'm really excited about it. I've just got to determine if there's a way I can either give you a 10% coupon so you can save on the subscription or what. Yeah. I'm still working
we definitely
things like
want
that
our,
out.
We definitely want there to be a financial incentive for you to go with the subscription option. Because, frankly, it's better for everybody that way.
Yeah. Yeah, really. The subscription option is much better for us because, hey, we can give a discount because we make more. We're not going to lie to you. We make more, and that's what the whole point of micropay is.
Well, we don't take in more money, but we keep more of what we take in because we don't end up paying as much in transaction fees.
Our bottom line is more because so we want people to subscribe. I've got two options. One is working with the gift certificate option, and I'm still playing around with that. And eventually I want a micropay subscription option like that, where basically what you do is you get a bunch of money in your account, and then you'll have discounted books you can buy. You can use that money for 12 issues, and they can be any 12 issues, or 24 issues, or all the way up to 60 issues, because we have five titles.
So you could
my top subscription will be every title for a year.
Yeah, if you wanted. What I really like about that one is somebody could buy a 12-issue subscription, for example, and they could either get, like a whole year of one title, or they could get 6 months of two, or, you know, I mean, it's...
Yeah.
You can pretty much break that up any way you want.
it's really flexible. What, and if what you decide and what, you don't like
and
it,
that way,
I don't
if
think
if
you
it
will.
Turns out, yeah, yeah, it, that way, if it turns out that we suck, and you don't want to keep reading Ghost, you can pick up more issues of Push that way, you know, because well, a lot of people think Push is better than Ghost, and frankly, I'm a little hurt, but that's okay.
But we all love you anyway, Jeff. But our best-selling series so far is Unification Chronicles. Helps that it has a built-up audience already then. But it's our best-selling series.
It helps that, like, the three people that read Between Heaven and Hell,
with Atlantis Rising right behind it and Push behind that. Those are our top three series.
Yeah.
Which Atlantis Rising number 3 was supposed to be available at Fictionalize this week, but whatever, they didn't do it. I'm shocked.
I'm not real enthused about the idea of submitting anything else to Fictionalize. I'd much rather get our own store going, because they don't get it. They don't understand what we're doing. That's obvious. I'd rather not go through a bunch of, you know, like, I don't want to lock our readers into having, like, the first three issues of a series from Fictionwise and then the rest from ours.
There are reasons. We need to put the last issue before we transition. We need to keep it up because we want to bring over as many
people.
Who don't know who we are and are just reading our stuff. So we need to do that. We'll look at our options there. Right now, the other option I have for subscriptions is basically it'll lock you into a specific series or group of series. I plan on giving several options. But basically, you'll go back and with the gift certificates, you actually have to go buy each issue with a gift certificate. With this option, you don't have to go rebuy it every time. You pay once and you just go re-download it every time a new issue comes out. And you'll just download an updated zip file. The drawback is one zip file with all the issues. So once you get to 12 issues, there'll be 12 issues in every format.
Yeah.
So the zip file just gets bigger and bigger. And I think my goal is to offer both.
That brings up a question. I am putting together our tentative list of formats right now that we're going to offer since we're doing this ourselves and we can decide such things. And here's what I've got so far. And if any of you guys out there listening have any thoughts on this, by all means, let us know. Now is the time. Here's what I know that we're going to offer. We're going to offer Palm Doc, straight on vanilla Palm Doc, iSilo, ASCII, and PDF. Here are the things that I have listed as maybes. E-Reader, RTF, Plucker, and Microsoft Reader.lit.
I personally want E-Reader.
Okay.
And I think we should do .lit. I definitely think those two should go in the list. I think we should, the others, if there's a calling for them.
And HTML.
Just to make things easy.
Yeah, I would like to include the RTF and HTML because they're formatted files that I know everybody can read. The e-reader I'm not sure about because I think if you're doing commercial books, you have to, like, pay for their expensive program to convert them.
Oh.
So I'm not sure about that one yet. I've got to do a little more research.
Depending on how much it is, it may be worth it down the road, but,
It may be, but, and then, Plucker and RTF I can do pretty easily. .lit, I think I have a good way to do bulk conversions with .lit. Basically, we want to offer as many different formats as we can reasonably do every month, considering that I'm the format conversion guy. I don't want to spend like a whole day converting ebooks every month, but We want to offer, I mean, just about everything that Solo Media is about offering as many different options and choices
exactly.
and freedom for our customers
choices
as possible.
For the customer. Freedom's a good word,
now,
too.
Now, here's something that Josh and I have been kicking around that we haven't actually announced yet, is that we're probably going, the storefront that we're going to be opening up will not be Solo Media. Solo Media is a publisher. The storefront will be called something else.
We don't.
Not sure Josh is ready to throw that out there yet. So,
yeah,
but it will be called something else
in the site. So,
and that will actually be a retailer that happens to be owned by the same guys that own Solo Media that specializes in serial ebooks.
Yeah.
So if other publishers wanted to do this, they could come on board as well, which makes the whole multiple subscription thing even more valuable to our customers, because they're not just getting me and Josh and Bethany, they're getting any other writers that sign on.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Even more choice. That's when it really starts to feel like a micropayment system, because you've got all of these options and, well, I got 60 issues I can buy. Can I buy them all this month? You know, I mean, how many comics do you buy a month, Josh?
Oh, about 35.
Okay, so if somebody, yeah, what would just make me happy as a clam is if people could come to our new storefront to be named later, and bought like 35 issues a month of different titles. That would rock.
That would be awesome if we can. If we can build up to that point right now, I think, once we get going, and once I get this working, I think it gives us a lot more control over our destiny and a lot more, as long as we can get people to come to our site, which we still, we still got to figure out exactly how we're going to do all that. But
yeah, the whole
so
marketing
far,
thing we're still working on.
And that's our biggest,
yeah.
our biggest
yeah.
drawback
right
now.
Despite our plea last week for ideas, Buckus, where are you people? Come on.
There are
We're
people
dying here.
Yeah. So, again, a plea for Bubkis. No, wait. Wait, no. I don't want Bubkis.
No, we got plenty of that.
For those of you who are wondering where Max Geek 42 went, I can say cryptically it will come into play as we approach the release of the store. I have plans. I've been formulating, and
he doesn't really have plans. He just thinks he has plans.
I have a flaw. Just a little teaser that there was a reason we did it, and I've expanded on that reason now. Okay, admittedly, Jeff wanted to screw with your heads. But
I am evil that way.
Okay, it was half my idea. I said, we could just name it 43. Our evilness has paid off yet again. Somehow that always works out for us, and I've got a plan that will play right into that, and some interesting things I think we can do with that. Look for more information in the coming weeks. My plan is, if I can get all the testing goes well, to have the Solo Media store live in approximately a month.
Except that it's not Solo Media.
I'm calling it until I unveil it. It's called the Solo Media store.
But not a real green dress. That's cruel.
I think that's going to do it for this episode of Maximum Geek. I don't know what else we could talk about.
Well, I'm sure we could find something, but then people would start throwing things, and digitally that can hurt. So
I've been hit by digital things, and frankly, they're very sharp because they're often.
Yeah, it's not so much the zeros. The zeros are kind of soft, but the ones, if they hit you just right, they can stick.
They make a boing sound too.
All right, so that's going to do it for this Maximum Geek.
The back end wiggle.
We'll talk.